Welcome to Nourish and Align with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. Another episode. I'm flying solo today. No guests, but hopefully we will have guests back on the next episode. Today, I just wanted to talk a bit about inflammation and its effects on iron levels, because I think more and more I'm coming into contact with women over 40 who are saying they've got iron deficiency, or they've got low ferritin, or which is your iron stores, or they have low serum iron, but they can't pinpoint a real reason because they're eating a iron and protein-rich diet. There is no bleeding happening anywhere. They might not have heavy periods. So why is it that some of us are having iron deficiency? And I'm one of them. I started having severe palpitations and fatigue. Like, I couldn't make it through a walk. And I didn't think iron first because I eat a iron-rich diet. I eat enough proteins. I eat enough vitamin C foods. And I couldn't understand what the relation was until I had my blood checked and I asked the GP to please do not just HB, but to check my ferritin. And they did. And then my ferritin was low. It was way below the normal value. And I was started on oral supplementation, which is fine. I accepted that. But no questions was asked to examine further, like, you know, what is the root cause? And then I met more and more women in this perimenopause or this transition phase who have iron deficiency. And it just made me question, what is happening here? What are we dealing with? And then I started to do some research and I was like, okay, inflammation is the culprit here because, as you know, as estrogen declines, or even as estrogen starts to go, you know, it fluctuates and progesterone fluctuates. A low estrogen can increase pro-inflammatory markers like your cytokines. It can increase oxidative stress. It can cause a heightened immune system activation. So all of those just related to the estrogen itself can lead to inflammation. And besides that, the low estrogen can cause a lower esophageal sphincter function, meaning women over 40 tend to have more GERD or gastric esophageal reflux, you know, where the contents push up into your esophagus. We can have more gastritis or inflammation in the stomach area. And then we get put onto PPIs or proton pump inhibitors, which are drugs just to lower the acidic environment of the stomach to decrease the inflammation, you know, in the mucosa, the lining of the stomach. But what we fail to realize is that those PPIs, after over a long period of time, they prevent iron from being absorbed properly. Okay. And then coupled with this inflammation that we are finding, due to the low estrogen, due to the other factors, hepcidin, which is a hormone that is responsible primarily for absorption of iron, or plays a role in regulating iron absorption. When hepcidin goes up, iron absorption goes down, and hepcidin increases in states of inflammation. Now we're in our 40s. We're not only having this estrogen that is going buck wild up and down everywhere. We might have declining levels. Some of you might even have heavy periods as well. As estrogen declines and progesterone declines, you might find yourself having heavier than normal periods. And we've got these gastric mucosa symptoms and side effects as well. And then the life stage we are in, can we please be real and talk about the fact that we are juggling so many things? We've got teenagers, or I've got a tween. Some of you have teenagers, some of you have younger kids. They are going through their own puberty and hormonal phase while you are going through yours. It is extremely difficult to juggle. You have aging parents. Some of them live with you. You have to look after them. You have a partner whose needs need to be met. You are maybe climbing the corporate ladder at work. You're stuck in the middle of your career development. All of these things add stress, add anxiety. So now we're living in a high stress age range, we're having this inflammation in our body, and then this hepcidin hormone increases. Once that increases, iron absorption goes down. So now we're seeing this thing, okay, our iron levels are shot, we are feeling anxious because a low iron can cause anxiety, an increase in palpitations, can cause restless leg syndrome, it's obviously severe fatigue, brain fog, all similar symptoms to perimenopause. And that is why, as part of my advice to women in this transition, the first point of call you should always be doing is you should be going for labs. The first thing you do when you get to your GP is to ask them to do a full blood panel. You're looking to check not just your iron. And when you ask for iron studies. You want them not to just check your hemoglobin levels. You want them to check ferritin. You want them to check serum iron, red cell distribution with total iron binding capacity. Those are all the things you want them to check. Then you also want, if you're going to do that, you might as well go full on. Ask for the full blood panel of your lipogram, so your LDL, HDL, triglycerides. Ask for a full glucose check, so your HbA1c. And those two blood samples don't need to be fasting. So if you are going to do it, preferably go early in the morning before you have eaten breakfast and get those bloods drawn. Then you can ask to check your vitamin D and your B12 as well. And then related to inflammation particularly, you want to ask them to check your C-reactive protein. That is, or CRP, that is a marker of inflammation. And if that level is high, that shows that there's inflammation somewhere in the body. So now that we know, inflammation and chronic inflammation will lead to an increase in hepcidin. An increase in hepcidin will lead to a decrease in absorption of iron, no matter how much iron-rich foods you are eating. So even though your diet might be normal, you're not experiencing heavy bleeding, if there is inflammation, the hepcidin goes up, the iron absorption will go down. So now the thing is, like, what do you do? What are you going to do with that information? The first thing is you want to look for the root cause of the inflammation. So if it is chronic stress and you know you're in a high stress state, your cortisol levels are going to be high. You're going to be stuck in a fright response if you're going through a particularly stressful time. Then you need to practice mindfulness. You need to do some breath work. You need to practice some body movement. Non-strenuous. I'm getting a somatic therapist on here in June. So if you are interested in somatic therapy and how that helps with the trauma response, I think that will be very valuable. So if you can look up somatic workouts, somatic therapies, which are low intensity, but it helps to release the trauma and tension from different spaces in your body. Because as you know, unprocessed emotions, suppressed stresses sit in the body, and that can lead to inflammation as a result of stress. So if that is the root cause, you need to get into some mind-body techniques, seek out counseling, practice mindfulness, journaling, find a hobby, paint, you know, that those kind of things. But if it's a physical thing, like if you've got an inflamed mucosa and you're on PPIs for long term, find out from your doctor how long do you have to be on the PPIs before they start to affect the absorption of iron. If the inflammation is in your gastric mucosa, what else can you do? Is it caused by stress? Is it caused by foods? If you've got gastric inflammation in your stomach, you want to lower your intake of coffee and alcohol, preferably just stop using them until you have resolved the issue, because both coffee and alcohol are irritants to the gastric lining. So you might want to avoid both. Drink green tea, drink rooibos tea. There are alternatives that you can use instead of coffee. And obviously, if you like alcohol, I mean, honestly, it is a big irritant to the gastric mucosa. Maybe lower your intake while you're still recovering. So those are things you can avoid. Avoid spicy foods, and then avoiding refined, high-fat, fatty foods that stay in the stomach for longer and increase the production of acid. So you want to stay away from takeouts and from fast foods and from things soaked in drenched in oil. And you want to switch to an anti-inflammatory diet. You want to include lots of fresh fruits, vegetables. Okay, so when I say vegetables, If you are someone who has a hard time, especially when you've got gastritis or this inflammation in your stomach, you might have a hard time digesting whole wheats or whole grains. So to get a good fiber, starches, I would suggest things like sweet potato, butternut, quinoa, bulgur wheat. They're less heavy on the stomach, but they still contain a good amount of fiber. And then when they get into your gut, they produce short chain fatty acids, which are good for your gut microbiome. And we know now that your gut microbiome will help to decrease inflammation. So those are the things you want to increase your intake of. You want to increase your intake of your free veggies, so green peppers, mushrooms, tomatoes, baby spinach. Those are all things you want to increase. Having at least 2 to 3 fruits a day that are in season, preferably. Right now, avos are in season in South Africa. Avocados are rich in omega threes, and they are going to definitely promote a decreased inflammation. Once we see inflammation come down, we are definitely going to see your iron absorption pick up. Because sometimes what's happening is you don't realize that the cause is inflammation, and you're on an oral supplement, and now you're wondering after 2 months why is the oral supplement not working. And it's not a result of it's not a matter of how much you've taken in, it's actually a matter of how much is being absorbed. So do you want to decrease the inflammation, and we do that with an anti-inflammatory diet. I'm going to put a link to my Instagram account in the bio as well, and then you can also check out my page, because sometimes I just post things on there regarding this, and you can look for information that might be useful or valuable to you. So besides the those nice high fiber starches and the green leafy vegetables, the diet rich in a variety of vegetables, and as they say, eat the rainbow. You want to increase probiotic foods, so you want to increase like plain yogurt. Kombucha, which I actually really enjoy. Surprisingly, I don't like green tea, but kombucha I'm liking. You can make your own kimchi, you can make your own sauerkraut, all foods that have been fermented and provide the gut with probiotics, because different probiotics produce different neurotransmitters, which can also help to decrease anxiety and the gut microbiome. If it's healthy and there's a good variety, it is a huge help in decreasing inflammation in the body. You want to drink enough, stay hydrated, drink enough water, and then you want to eat good quality proteins. So in South Africa, we've got like chicken, we've got ostrich. You want to stay away from red meat for a while, or maybe keep that to once a week while your iron stores are, or while you want to get the inflammation down rather, because red meats contain omega-6, especially arachidonic acid, which is pro-inflammatory. So it's going to actually cause more inflammation. So you want to lower that while you're trying to get your body back into equilibrium. So I would recommend lean chicken, fish, especially your oily fish. So obviously the more expensive types are your salmon, tuna, and mackerel. But if you are on a budget, there's nothing wrong with using sardines. Pilchards, which you can make into a fish lasagna, you can make into a fish salad with brown rice and veggies, you can make fish cakes with it. Obviously, not fried in oil. There are ways of doing it that you don't have to add a high fat content to it. And then staying away from just sugary pastries and cookies and cool drinks that are high in sugar. All the refined sugar you want to cut out, they are pro-inflammatory. You want to aim for a maximum of 25 grams of added sugar per day. And how you can do that is to check your labels. If you check your labels, you'll see on the label it will tell you how much glycemic carbohydrates is in a product. And right at the bottom, it will say of which total sugars is. 1 teaspoon of sugar is about 5 grams. So if your per serving size, if it says there's 45 grams of added sugar, you can do the math, and that's about 9 teaspoons. Okay, so you need to start thinking about what you are taking in, looking at the labels, and start to identify the added sugars. You want to cut down on that when you're following an anti-inflammatory diet so that you can support a decrease in inflammation and then we can try to get that iron to get absorbed again. What else is there? And then, oh, back to the proteins. Another good protein source we have that is low in fat or arachidonic acid is ostrich. So ostrich, goulash, ostrich steak, those are options you can think of. And then nut butters, olive oil. These are all foods you want to add and that are anti-inflammatory. And then the anti-inflammatory spices that you want to include are cinnamon, turmeric, and cook much more with garlic and ginger. Ginger especially, as those have anti-inflammatory effects. So basically, that's it. Like, if you are in perimenopause, you're going through a stressful time, you're starting to feel fatigued, you are not certain what it could be. First point of call, go get your labs done. Preferably, then just do all the labs. But specifically, look at iron. If your iron is low, your ferritin is low, but you're eating enough iron-rich foods, then this could be the reason. Inflammation plays a big role in this transition, which is why we have so many of these side effects that take place during menopause, which is even the joint pain, or the musculoskeletal pain, the brain fog, and even sometimes the mood changes. So they're all related to a increase in inflammation. And then just coming back to the PPIs, if you do have, I mean, because it does happen in perimenopause where we get the inflamed gut or we get the lower esophageal sphincter not working correctly and you end up with gastroesophageal reflux disease. And your doctor puts you on PPIs, he's doing that to protect your stomach lining from the hypersecretion of the acids and also to prevent any ulcers from forming. It's just to remember that in the long term, if you stay on it for too long, it causes a decrease in the acidic environment, which can also cause a decrease in iron absorption. So what we want to do is to get behind the root cause. Why am I having inflammation? And that's the starting point. So now you start to think, why is the inflammation? Is it stress? Is it diet related? Because I can change my diet, I can manage my stress. If it's related to anything else, you need to get to the root cause. And I think that's what's missing with a lot of the typical medical fraternity right now. You go in, your doctor literally has 15 minutes to see you. You pay for your 15-minute slot. They ask you your symptoms, and the answer is to give you a pill. And if you are not knowledgeable and you don't know what to ask, you just accept what they are giving you without trying to understand what is happening at the root level. So my advice to you is, if you have a low iron, if you have a low ferritin, you're not sure what the cause is, start looking at possible sources of inflammation in your life, in your diet, and then start to follow an anti-inflammatory diet and then a lifestyle that reduces stress and anxiety so the inflammation can come down. In the meantime, you'll have to start on oral supplementation. Just make sure when you take your oral iron supplements to not take them with a meal that contains tea, coffee, or milk. Calcium will decrease the absorption of the iron, and so will the tannins from the tea. So you want to make sure that you have your iron supplement at least 1 hour before you've eaten or 2 hours after you've eaten, and that they're not part of the meal to prevent any competition from occurring between the nutrients. So that's one advice. If after 2 to 3 months, and usually the doctor will tell you to have it your iron checked again after 3 months. If after a month rather you are not seeing an improvement in your symptoms, they might ask you to do IV iron so that you can get it directly into your bloodstream and have a marked increase effect. And then after 3 months they'll test again. So it's important to keep testing and to keep monitoring your symptoms. And I think just to end off, know your body. I think we've lived so detached from our bodies. We don't listen anymore to what our bodies are telling us. We live in our heads. We're constantly making lists. We're making plans. We are stressing and having anxiety about what is to come. We've learned to live separate from what's happening in our body. And I think we need to get back to focusing on the body, listening to what's happening in our bodies. And pay attention to the cues our bodies is giving us, and then not suppress it or make light of it or just cover it with a pill. We need to start looking at root causes so we can live holistic lives. I hope this was helpful. I hope this was valuable. I hope you enjoyed this. I will be getting Kirby on again to discuss the anti-inflammatory diet and other tips and ways we can lower inflammation. And then I think the next episode, I'm having a mental health expert come in. And we will be talking about managing the anxiety that can come with perimenopause. Because if you didn't know, there is a thing called perimenopausal panic disorder. And especially if you have never had high anxiety before, and you find yourself now in your 40s experiencing more and more a decreased stress resilience and more anxiety, there's a reason for that. And we will speak to her about, what can we do to manage that anxiety that's coming up. It was lovely chatting to you, and see you next time.